episode 21 of The Rift, November 22nd, 2010. My name is Arithian.
And I'm Duskus.
And today we turn 21! Woo! Sorry.
By that she means the podcast.
Yeah,
the
podcast. I've been 21 for a while. So, Desi, you're better now. We missed you.
Yeah, it's all allergies now, and so I've been walking around work like a zombie still.
Aww.
Which is really kind of funny.
Are you at least dosed up?
Yes, I've been taking medicine, like, religiously. And it doesn't seem to work.
That's not good.
No.
Well, we missed you. I'm here. I've been really, it's been hectic. Yeah, work. We have a lot to do at work at the moment. Work is like horribly hectic. And, you know, then there's the podcast. And the podcast is now 21. So everybody should buy us a drink. That's my joke. And I do want to remind people that there will be no podcast on November 29th because we are taking a break over Thanksgiving. So, no podcasty for people on that day.
It's been a crazy week for Rift news releases, and today we have a nice lineup. We have Hal Hanlon, Rift's design producer, with us to answer a heap of questions about the game and give us a bit more detail about some of the things we already know.
Yep, he's really good at that too, actually. He talks a lot. He's like me. Talks a lot. And you. Now remember, beta weekends start on December 3rd, 2010. If you don't already have a VIP key, we're going to be giving away another 3 keys before December 3rd.
Ooh. So,
I know.
Is that cool?
Yay! We'll do the ooing in the background.
Yes, there you go.
So just listen carefully to the interview and we'll let you know what to comment in our Podcast 21 blog afterwards.
We're really excited about beta finally starting. Means release is just getting so much closer.
I know. Like, it's like, what? If it's still quarter one, it's like, what? 4 months away?
If you don't want to think about how far away it is, you should just get a busy schedule. I haven't realized how much time's passed.
You're so busy.
Remember to jump into Rift IRC if you're bored and wanting to chat, speculate about the game. A lot of people hang out there and it's fun.
It is fun.
Yeah. I kind of miss everybody there.
Yeah. You will get back.
I know. I need internet at my house first, though.
Oh, God. I'll get you that for Christmas.
Now we're going to move on to the interview.
So we'd like to say hello to Cindy, because she's here again. Hello, Cindy.
Hello, Ari. What a great week this has been.
It has been. You gave the beta date out. I'm not talking to you anymore.
Oh, sorry. I tried to wrestle it for you, but, you know, those marketing PR people, they...
I blame them totally.
I know.
Yep, I will hold it against them for all eternity. Today we're lucky enough to welcome Hal Hanlon, Rift's design producer, to the podcast. Welcome, Hal.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Oh, it's great to have you. Now, can you tell us a bit about yourself and how you came to work for Trion?
Sure. I've been in the industry since 1999. Wow. I've worked on a few MMOs and a few console products and along the way. A few friends of mine worked in this company, and I was invited to interview. And I was looking at several places at the time, and everything came together at Trion. It had the best combination of vision, talent, tool set, financial strength. Most places I was looking had one or two of those, but Trion had all of them.
Oh, well, that's good. Now, what is it that a design producer does?
I push people. I push everybody. I push the managers to give clear directions. I push the pod leads to fit an incredible amount of work into a sane timeline. I don't ask anybody to work ridiculous hours, but they need to be working in a very efficient timeline. I push back against the pod leads when they're asking for things to make sure the request will bring actual value and isn't just a heat-of-the-moment request. Mm-hmm. I push other departments to get what the designers need when they need it. And I push the design team to deliver more than they think they can. Basically, I just push, not to be a jerk, but just to make sure that we are efficient and focused.
So you kind of coordinate everything and make sure everybody is living up to and slightly exceeding what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, I think of it in the quiet moments of my life. I think about it just as trying to keep everyone honest with themselves. Do they really want it? Can they really use it? Is it really important? Is it really going to drive subscriptions? And it's just be honest and then do the best work you can.
Okay. What is your favorite Rift?
Oh, we just put in a ridiculous additional number. It's just a huge number. But the one that really stood out to me recently I was playing was this great Rift. I hate spiders. I really do.
So
it's this great Rift that you're fighting this wave after wave of spiders that are progressively different colors, different nasty abilities, but you're surrounded by these giant egg sacs, and so it's very creepy. And then you meet the mama, and you're fighting her for a while, and then she runs off and unleashes just a hell of wriggly legs on you by popping open one of these egg sacs, and it was just creepy and icky, and I had a lot of fun just killing them all.
And what sort of rift is that? Is that a death rift, or?
That particular one was a life rift, I believe.
Great, spiders come. I'll be avoiding life rifts then.
Everything has something to be afraid of.
Okay, so what class or faction do you enjoy most, or both?
Oh, I am a warrior through and through. I've tried all of them, and, you know, everybody has a preference. We have some sworn clerics here, but for me, I absolutely love playing the warrior classes because our warrior calling is so flexible with the various souls that we have, but I always fall back to the paladin as my go-to soul. Every build I have probably has a paladin in it because it just has a great combination of survivability and damage.
And what faction? Are you a Defiant or a Guardian?
I'm a Guardian. Oh. I'm Guardian through and through. Sorry, but the fact of the matter is I prefer to think that I'm chosen of the gods, not a technological invention.
Now, what current soul combination are you playing? Now, you said you had Paladin, but like, what's your favorite soul combination?
Well, you're familiar probably with the concept of roles and how we use multiple souls, even the same souls, different ways using the roles. Well, I tend to play the same three in three different ways. And so I have a Paladin, Reaver, and then one soul I can't really give you the name of, but I'll give you a hint. Just it's kind of the function is very heavy anti-magic soul. Okay. So I have three different roles using those same three souls that play completely differently. So if I'm going to be playing, running into an encounter that is thick with a lot of relatively weak mobs, I'm going to equip a very heavy Reaver Paladin and third soul combination because the Reaver has these... Oh, wait, hold on. I'm not sure I was able to talk about the Reaver. Can I talk about the Reaver? Oh, good. Okay. So the Reaver's good against multiple... that's one of our starting. That's good. Good against multiple enemies and has abilities that suck the life out of them and give it to you, which is very good for large one-on-many combat. But then once I mow through the trash mobs, if I look up and I see a pretty heavy mob coming at me, as soon as I get out of combat, I'll switch roles to my Paladin heavy build. And I'll jump into that role because it's great for single-point massive damage surviving. You can just run up to this guy, you can keep hammering on him, and even if he chisels you all the way down to nothing, you've got this great ability that lets you pop your life all the way back up and start over.
Oh, good, because Paladin should.
Oh, it is a sick build that I've been playing for PvE. And then, so for instance, I go a little bit further and I see this area that's just thick with mages. I get out of combat, I switch over to this other role that lets me absorb some part of the magic that's attacked, used against me, and then I can use it in a counterattack, which is a massive burst of damage. Oh. And so I will use the same three souls in three different roles completely differently in a given, if I walk into just a single scene in our game, if I'm in a dungeon or whatever, it's very flexible and I can really micromanage how I play the game.
Well, that's definitely a flexible soul system.
It's amazing.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to more game-based things and not just HAL-based things. What are your most and least favorite aspects of Rift right now?
I love the invasions. You're familiar, I'm sure. We have Rifts, we have Tears, we have Footholds, and we have Invasions. And the invasions are sort of the stitching that pieces or puts them all together. And so the Rifts are great fun. They're a good source of loot. There's something thrilling about going about my business, though. You know, I'm doing, saving the world one quest at a time, and I look up and the sky has changed, and the terrain around me has changed. And then I notice there's an invasion icon on the mini-map, and it's running up behind me. And then, oh my god, the second invasion coming from a different plane comes in, and now I've got two guys, I'm beating both of them back, and it's wonderful. And it's the kind of gameplay that makes you pay attention to what you're doing. It's really hard to sit there drinking your Pepsi and, 1-3, 1-3, 1-3, and all of a sudden you've got a water invasion right in your face.
That would be exciting. So that's your favorite. Now, what's your least favorite?
Oh, let's see. I personally am horrible at PvP. That's not saying our PvP is bad. It's saying I'm awful at it. And, everybody has heard of Dead Simon. Dead Simon owns me when we're playing, all right? I mean, he builds his camp on the bones of me. Yeah.
Kills you, right? Okay, so but you're but okay, obviously the PvP is staying in. Mm-hmm. And you know, is there like any ideas to kind of change the invasions? Or I mean, we've seen a heap of the invasions on like, you know, previews and stuff, and the fire one. I've seen a fire one and that looked awesome.
Well, oh, it is. It's really cool. And what's really a lot of fun is if you see two different competing invasions struggling for the same territory, and the terrain underneath feels just amorphous. It's shifting back and forth between Talara and water and, you know, fire, and it's just really exciting. But there's, you know, there's always room to just take it to two or three more steps. And so because I know how the mechanics are running under the hood for invasions, I can see where Will, who's the pod lead for the invasion team, I can see where he wants to go with this. We've had long conversations about it. And because our engine is designed to integrate more content over a long period of time in ways that never has been done before, yes, we'll be making invasions continually better, bringing more to the table with that, and obviously the same with Rifts.
Good. Now, with the diversity of the class system, as you just showed us recently,
yes,
a few minutes ago, now, is it feasible that a group of all of one calling, like, you know, clerics or warriors or mages, can run a dungeon successfully?
You know, if you got right down to the numbers, I'm sure someone would cry foul in the systems department. However, I would say...
I said feasible.
Yeah, feasible. Possible? Yeah, maybe. It would really depend on the gear, the skill of the players, how well they work together. I mean, what's their communication like? Can they speak one word and know exactly what the other person needs? And the specific dungeon. I mean, each of our bosses and the mobs in them are handcrafted, so just because they can do it in one dungeon doesn't necessarily mean they can in another in the same way. So, yeah, there's no one true build in our game. And so, you know, being able to make decisions and having those decisions matter is really how we play the game. So can somebody do that? Yeah, I bet somebody does. I bet someone comes in and laughs at us and says, yay, we can do it. Awesome. Well done. Hope you enjoy the game. Keep playing.
Now, should everyone expect that at least one of the roles a character has will be able to fill the empty slot in a group? So if you need like a healer and you're looking for a healer, I mean, can you pretty much take any class with you and they will have a healing role, or they should have the ability to be able to heal?
I don't think we have a healing rogue. I can tell you that there is more flexibility from, you know, in getting to deviate from the Holy Trinity here than I've ever seen in an MMO. I do know that when I've been watching people play our game, using strategies similar to what I was talking about, where I will vary up which role I'm using based on the encounter that's coming up.
Yeah.
I watched a team come in here for the Gamers Day. I watched them sit there and calculate it out and be like, okay, I'm going to switch to this role. You switch to that role. I'll switch to this role and we'll try that. Cool. They'd run in and get slaughtered and then come back and say, oh, wait, no, you go to the one you had before and I'm going to do these two. Okay, cool. And then they go in and they have better success. They refine their strategy. And you can really start going, wow, you know, we do need an extra off tank. So maybe, hey, Rogue, why don't you flip into your off tank build? And we need somebody with a little, you know, extra healing or whatever. And worst case scenario, my warrior can res you because he's a paladin. So.
Okay, so how are the heal, tank, and DPS roles spread out? Like, are they pretty evenly spread out? Or you said there isn't a healing rogue, so you wouldn't want a rogue to come and heal you because obviously it wouldn't work.
Yeah, I don't know. Because we're still finalizing how the various souls play, and we're getting awesome feedback from our alpha community and from internal. Where these actually are going to end up, I can't really tell.
Okay.
It's not me trying to be evasive. I simply don't know what they're going to decide to do. I do know that one of the reasons we went down this road is so that we can have super specialized souls that might suck in PvP or might be horrible in PvE, but are awesome for this other use.
Okay.
And because we can do that, it gives us more flexibility than I think, but I can't promise everything for everyone. So.
Yeah, okay. Now, with the focus on the social aspect of the game, a player is going to be earning like more benefits, for example, XP for grouping. Like, is there an incentive for them to group?
Yeah, there actually is. And right now what we're trying to do is message figure out how to message that to the players in a way that's more intuitive, because people aren't aware that some of our stuff is really subtle. So, yes, we do adjust XP while you're in groups. You're not getting paid in XP for your quest, whether or by virtue of whether you're in a group or not. You get the same XP, but you can grind through them faster if you've got more people killing. So there's a little benefit there. But then there's more things, such as whether or not I'm in a formal group. If I'm fighting a rift and other people are there, if they're in my group, great. If they're not in my group, great. We can get to later stages in that rift, which pays out more XP, better loot, and is genuinely a benefit to playing multiplayer, whether you're grouped or not, over playing solo. Okay. Solo, you're only going to probably get to the first time stage, and you probably won't be able to get through that solo. Some person comes along, one person can tip that balance, and now you're into the higher XP bracket, and you're doing more cool stuff, you're getting better loot. And you know, that's where, in our game, you never have the case of get out of my rift. You have, oh my God, please come help me, which is exactly what we want.
Okay, now you said kind of that if you group and get through the quests quicker, like, is there a bonus XP for grouping? Like if you group, the mob becomes worth a little bit more, so you have a slight percentage gain? I mean, it would still be less than if you're soloing the mob, but is there a slight boost there?
You know, that specific question, I think next time you interview one of the systems guys, ask him that, because I don't want to say the wrong thing.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but I am also pretty sure that I don't want to be the guy that said the wrong thing.
Okay. Now, we've heard that there won't be any overland content while we're leveling up. Now, does this mean that the max level content is being relied on as the grouping contingent of the game? And the rifts, of course.
Yeah, when I saw that, I was trying to figure out what you meant by that. Because we have a ton of content beneficial to groups. We actually have quests from the early part of Free March and Silverwood that call out group 2 or 3 or 5 or whatever, that are really, you're going to need to have a group in order to get these more elite.
It's more aimed at, you know, there are a lot of people who it's easier to solo, you know, through the game, which is a great thing. But there's also a lot of people who like to be able to group the whole way through. And we've been told there's no overland content. So is it sort of like a get to 50 and we'll take care of you with grouping content? Or you know, is there a way for them to group the whole way up?
Oh, absolutely. You can group the whole way up because you can get XP for doing dungeons. You can get XP for doing warfronts. You can get XP for doing rifts. You could do the quests that are group quests. You could do simultaneous to that your solo quests while you're doing all of that. Mm-hmm. You can do your guild quests while you're doing all of that and level up your guild. And then you can also participate in these rifts. And we have major rifts that absolutely require full groups. And those are in every zone.
Okay, well, that is good to hear.
Yes.
Okay, now it's been mentioned by multiple people that Rift plans to launch with an endgame, which will consist of reputation grinds, rifts, raid rifts, expert dungeons, and two raid zones.
Yeah.
Is there more planned for shortly after release? What sort of life expectancy are you giving the current content that you have planned for release?
Yeah, so that's the day one endgame, right?
Yeah, day one.
However, we're giving the players great additional content. I mean, that's something Scott's adamant about. He talks to me about that pretty much every day. And so, yes, what we really want to do is call out that our engine is beyond compare at this, because it was built from the ground up with the idea of it being a service that we're streaming this new content to the players. Mm-hmm. So we have built our development structure also to accommodate that. We're not looking at get a box product, get it on the shelves, move on to something else. We're looking at how do we roll out to this time span, to this time span, to this time span? How do we encompass this holiday? So we're all about continuing the content build, because otherwise we'd be completely wasting this platform.
Well, I like that answer too. Okay, now will the best items be available from raids, or similarly, will there be good crafted items that require raid drops or rift drops to complete? And if so, can you give us some examples?
Sure. It really depends on what kind of items you're talking about. Raid instances will give awesome loot, to be sure, and it will probably be the best equipment. But we also have raid rifts that players can open, which give the best essences and focus items. So just because you have the best chest armor doesn't mean you don't also benefit from a really good focus loaded up with great essences.
Can you explain the essence to us?
Yeah, sure. So one of the features of Rift is we have focuses, which are foci, I guess, but a focus item, which is a sort of a trinket item that you can customize. You equip it, you get it from the currency that you earn from doing rifts. Mm-hmm. You use that to purchase these foci. focuses. I don't know how you want to pronounce it, but
we'll go
you
with
then,
focuses.
Okay, good enough. You then equip it, and you can get other things from rifts called essences. And there are lesser and greater essences, and the lesser ones have stat adjustments, and in addition to lending a resistance to a planar type. So you can, for instance, I have one of my focuses that has one greater slot and five of the lesser slots. And so in my greater slot, I have a greater essence, which actually gives me a vampiric ability. I got a greater death essence. And so when I do damage, it has a chance to suck some of the life out. Again, I have play a reaver. I like, you know, doing the absorb your life and give it to me. And so, but then I also loaded that particular focus up with a whole bunch of other death lesser essences. And so I have like a huge number of death resistance, which is just very powerful when I'm fighting a death entity. But I carry a total of six of these around. I have a life one, a death one, a fire one, an earth one. I mean, I have one for every plane. And so I go hopping from rift to rift. And so if I'm about to enter water, I equip my water essence or a water focus and get better essences from that, and I improve myself that way. So that's what I mean when I say focus. And so,
these stat boosts, like they stack, so you put these like resistances that have the stat boosts in them in, and it all stacks together and creates like a trinket.
Yes, and so you've got, for instance, you start off with a really small one that has, I think, one or maybe two little slots, and you put, you know, two little essences in there, and you get, oh, maybe plus four strength and plus four stamina. Ooh, hey, fun. Or endurance. And then you buy better and better ones to the point where you have one like I had, or even better one that has one greater and five lessers. And so you're getting better and better essences that might do each five strength and maybe some dexterity, and then you put them in there, and you can really each one you stack it into the essences or into the focus, and then you have this massively power enhancing trinket that you can equip, and then you can customize that however you like, and then you can move on. So I guess for a while I tried having kind of a broad themed one where each slot had a different essence, so I was kind of universally weak. And then I decided to go more of the one focus one planar type route, and since then I've been really more effective against rifts. So the higher end rifts give you much better essences and focus items and that sort of thing. But then we also have raid rifts, which players can open, which give basically the best of the essences and focused items. So you get raid level recipes from several different locations and mechanisms. You can get all kinds of ways to craft. You get craft materials that give you even better focuses that you can craft. And then we have a crafting system we'll talk about in a later era that benefits from this also. So basically, the harder the content, the better the loot. The hardest content will give the best loot. But there are lots of different types of hard content, each of which benefits your character.
Oh, excellent. Now, just really quick on these focus things. If you have one that's like, so really the resistances mean something. So building up like your death focus and then having like different, you know, element focuses, these will really like actually kind of help mitigate damage.
Oh, heavens yes. If I forget, if I got my water focus equipped, I still have all the stat benefits to that, but not without the resistances. I notice it when I go into a death rift.
Okay.
They just feel punchier. My life is going down faster. I'm, you know, drinking more potions. I'm trying to stay alive more. And I'm like, oh, that's the problem. I run, you know, finish the stage, run to a safe location, put in the correct essence, and I run in and just mow through them.
Okay. Well, that is really good to hear. I like it when resistances actually do something.
Me too.
Now, Scott recently mentioned on 10-Ton Hammer that one half to two thirds of your design team has transitioned to the end game already. Mm-hmm. Now, speaking for those who love end game, this is really exciting. Like most big MMOs that have shipped recently, like in recent years, haven't had an end game, like none at all. Is this going to be one of Rift's big selling points?
A selling point, sure.
I mean, one of.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Our big selling point is that the game is awesome. I mean, it has HD graphics. It's an MMO world. It has complete feature set from day one, including the fleshed out end game system. That is key. I mean, the fact that, you know, people race to the end and then go have a nap.
Yeah, that's usually me.
Yeah, no, we don't want to do that. So basically, we have an unprecedented dynamic content sitting on top of a platform that's designed to deliver even more of it. So we have this incredibly well fleshed out MMO. We have the dynamic elements of rifts and invasions and footholds. And then we have a way to give progressive content down through the ages. So yeah, I'm psyched that we've really focused on the end game. However, we didn't cut corners on the way there.
Now, speaking of end game, and speaking of like Rift selling points, how about the exposure that Rift is getting? Like, are there any concerns about the publicity and attention Rift has been getting? Like, what are the plans to get the word out about the game in the few months left until launch? Is there like a big PR push coming? Because we want it to be successful.
Oh, me too. Well, I've talked to the marketing people a lot because I've been doing a lot of I went to Gamescom and various other things. So I spend a lot of time with the marketing folks. And I can tell you this. We have not yet begun to fight.
Okay.
Once people see our game, they're interested. Once they play it hands-on, they're blown away. I've watched reporter after reporter and all these jaded gamers come in here with this look of, oh, I've seen it all. And they walk out begging for keys for their guild. And as far as the marketing plan goes, I just know just enough. I sleep well at night knowing that people are about to start hearing about us everywhere. In fact, we just made an announcement on Thursday, beta signups. So go to riftgame.com and sign up.
Awesome. That's really exciting.
Yes, it is.
Well, I think it is.
People are coming in. It's really exciting to watch the numbers. So we have not even begun our massive marketing blitz as far as I can tell. And this is already starting to turn over. So,
well, I've been pushing for that beta date for a very long time. And okay, now the Soul system is being promoted as innovative. And from all the reviews we've seen, people absolutely love it. Now, is it really going to be mix and match? And are people truly going to have the freedom to swap and mix their souls whenever they choose from the get-go?
Well, when people first start playing with the soul system, they go, cool. And then they get a couple more souls, and they really start changing things around, and they go, whoa. And so they'll spend hours, and I mean literally hours, moving points around to tweak their role into shape. So the kind of gameplay loop gets into, you move this, you move this, you move this. You run out, you kill three things. You're like, oh, so close. You run back. You move this, you move this, you move this. And eventually, over the course of a couple of hours, you're like, oh, this is cool. And then you name your role, and that's part of your armory now. And so, yeah, it's great because it's not just the three. I keep talking about always playing with three. That's a little bit disingenuous. My character at this point has earned that many. So soon I'm going to put some more on there. You can have up to 8 souls that you can have 3 active at any given time. Mm-hmm. And what I wanted to illustrate with the fact that I'm using 3 and have 3 fully useful roles in 3 completely different ways is even with just 3 souls, you can really radically change how you play the game with our soul system. You start adding in the idea of, well, actually it's 3 out of 8, and these are super refined roles or souls that really let you do exciting and innovative things just in and of themselves. Yeah, mm-hmm. You get some crazy cool combinations.
Now, is there any way for people to test these souls? Like, can they test them out? Or do they have to go and, spend these points and then just go out and hope the mobs don't kill them while they learn it? Or
well, we do have some training or mannequins that you can actually beat up on.
Ooh, training dummies?
The best thing in the world that I have found is just, use your transportation system, go someplace that's maybe 2 or 3 levels below you and just own up on some greens for a little while, and you're fine. And honestly, that's more fun because you're still getting some XP.
Pick on the weaker guy. That's exactly. A good plan.
It's the MMO way to play.
Okay. Now, I'm a little curious about the 3 starter souls. We've been told about 3 starter souls. Mm-hmm. Now, is the first soul that's chosen definitely restricted to those 3, or can you also choose from all of them?
So when you're playing, you start off with just your calling. Mm-hmm. And very, very shortly, you make your first soul choice.
Okay.
And that is of the first 3, rather than hit you in the face.
Those 3?
In a few minutes, you get a few more, or you get another one. So, yeah. So we actually tried this for a while, and it's almost an embarrassment of riches. You have too many to choose from. And like Scott and Russ and I have said in various other places, we have super specialized some of these souls. Mm-hmm. They're not going to be necessarily useful at level 1. And you're really going to have a bad taste in your mouth if you choose a soul that's designed to be awesome in a group in a dungeon, and that's your starter soul?
Okay, I understand that. That's good. Yeah. Now, what sort of things will people have to do to obtain souls? I mean, like, if they find they've chosen a wrong soul, is there, like, any get-out-of-jail-free card? Or are they stuck with it until they manage to acquire another? Is it going to be easy to get all the other souls?
One of the things that we have an entire pod basically focused on right now is really massaging around when and how you get your souls.
Okay.
This is such a vital part of our game. We didn't want it to be all about, you take that first soul, you get up to 50, and then you can play around with it. No. What we're trying to do right now is find the sweet spot between just far enough where you're like, oh, I really want another one. Awesome, I got one. And not, oh my God, it's just going to be forever. And certainly not, wow, I got them all and it was too easy and no challenge. So basically, I was asking Gavin and I was asking Gersh, what are the various things that you can do to get souls? And so I started writing out the list of everything you could do to earn souls. And I realized that the easier answer is you play Rift. Crafting, questing, raids, dungeons, rifts. Basically, if you can do it in our game, there's probably a way that that gameplay can be used to get a soul.
So they might be quest rewards, or they might be rift rewards, or something like that.
Basically, we're the actual mechanic of getting them to you is something that we're just looking at what suits the tone of what we're doing. It's the what did the player do? What actions did the player participate in order to get that? And that's what we're really trying to nuance up. Make sure that it's fun and that people who love different gameplay styles all have a shot at more souls.
Okay. Now, back in June, you had a dev lunch with Abby.
Uh-huh, yeah.
I remember these things. No, we keep getting told that it's alpha and things are subject to change. But I did want to touch on something that you mentioned in an interview. You said, our goal is to create content that is memorable and vivid and worth coming back to over and over as opposed to just more, more, more.
Mm-hmm.
Some time has passed now. How on track is your team to this goal?
Without reservation, I can say we're exceeding that expectation. I mean, as an example, when I did that interview, we had a starting experience called Shadowlands.
Mm-hmm.
Each faction had a different version of Shadowlands, but it was still Shadowlands. We had Shadowlands Guardian, Shadowlands Defiant.
Yeah.
It was basically the same experience with different quests is what we ultimately got told. we gathered feedback, and we really didn't want to hear that feedback. It was, you guys have to do better. And we did. We basically made the decision to do the responsible thing and said, okay, let's do it right. And we dropped everything, and we put in two complete new starter experiences that are radically different.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, literally as different as you can get, because you're coming at it from two opposite ends of the time spectrum.
So you sort of have now, like, a purely Defiant and a purely Guardian.
Yeah, no sort of it about it. It is, when you come out of it, you have been steeped in what it is to be a Guardian, and you know what it is to be a Defiant, and you know why the other guy is either evil or horrible or bad or whatever justification you need as a player to go and slaughter them in large numbers, you got that by the time you come out of there. So, I mean, seriously, I've played each at least 12 times and I love them because it is epic in scope. And the as you come into Silverwood and Free March, and we've incorporated what Scott refers to as a shooting war because it seemed too peaceful and happy. You see Guardians and Defiance ripping each other up, and then you're like, well, guess what? I'll go deal with this rift problem for you. You guys have this handled, and you go out and save the world.
You said you've played it 12 times. That mean you have 12 characters?
Well, I keep deleting them.
We can't have 12 characters.
No. Sorry. You get, at this point, probably the way we're going to ship is that you're going to have up to 6 on an account.
So. Cool. That's not bad. Now, one thing, you know, we've been shown that there are 2 starter areas that we know of, and a player only needs to have 4 characters to max level because you can experience all the souls in one calling within that one character because of the soul diversity. Are you concerned at all about replayability considering that?
That's a fair question. I've played several characters through most of the game. I've encountered the content multiple times. And the first thing to remember about our game is that the world itself is not the same each time.
Mm-hmm.
If you're running a quest and you've done with 2 other characters prior to that, but suddenly you have to fight off a series of invasions at the quest hub where you're turning something in because otherwise your quest completer is going to be dead and the merchant next to him is going to be dead. Well, it feels subtly different. It's not even subtly different. It's radically different. But then also, because you can get XP from rifts and from dungeons and from PvP, if you choose to, you can level alts in a completely different way, where you simply say, okay, well, let's go run dungeons, and you run them. Or, hey, let's just rift. I jumped in with a pickup group the other day, and I just went from rift to rift to rift to rift, and I realized that I was about to level, and cool. It was great. Yeah.
Just a sideline there. Now, if I'm out there with my little major cleric or whatever I end up playing one of these days, am I going to, if I'm just soloing and there's an invasion that I don't know how the leveling works, but say it's my level or so, am I going to want to run away from that? Is there an element of danger about it, like kind of like a bit of risk?
Always an element of danger. It's finding that comfortable balance, but one of the things that I've found is the invasions are the balance tippers.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they themselves are overwhelming, but I was fighting a foothold at one point, and I was beating it down. I had killed all the defenders, and I was about to kill it, and all of a sudden it spawned an invasion right on top of me, and that suddenly was really hazardous. I was in a bad state of affairs at that point, but that was fun, because so oh my God, here he is, and I got to take him out.
So footholds can spawn invasions?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Yeah. What about rifts? And can rifts spawn invasions?
Rifts can spawn invasions too.
Ooh, I like that.
So here's what's really exciting. We have several servers for various parts of development, and we had one that we called the Design Shard, and nobody was playing on it. Maybe one person a week would log into it, and they'd do a little something here and there. But the invasions and the footholds and the rifts were allowed to just run, and it's as though the players all just decided not to do their job. That was a wrecked world, because we open it up and I have all these screenshots that I've been showing in some of the demos I've been doing of just when you mouse over it in the map, if you see an invasion, it looks like a pair of crossed swords. Uh-huh. And if you mouse over that, you see this arrow showing where it's going. And it also shows all the other invasions in your zone. And so there was this one where I opened it up and I moused over it, and they were everywhere, and there were three different races or planes, and they were attacking each other's footholds and the player footholds or player strongholds. It was crazy. And because each individual invasion is intended to be a solo encounter, a group of players can do a significant amount of repair work even when it gets to that state. Mm-hmm. And so you have this sense of, wow, I really bailed Silverwood out.
But if you do, like, leave it, you know, go unchecked like that, it really will start to overrun. Like, it will kind of, like, multiply and multiply. It's not just going to be on a timer and then go away.
No. This is – it's – basically, we can sit there and we can watch the world spin into not chaos. It spins into a six-sided war that, as long as the Guardians and the Defiance aren't fighting, is just six-sided. And they hate each other. And so you'll see a water invasion chugging across and beating up on the mobs from a water rift or from an earth rift that they ran past. So it's not even like they just go from point to point and kill the thing on the end. They fight things along the way. There will be guards, wolves. I've fought it side by side with a bat.
Would they ever, like, gang up and fight, like, Guardians or fight Defiance? Or do they kind of just still stay at each other's throats?
I won't go too much into that right now, but I will answer it this way. On a platform where we can change the rules, as long as we message it correctly, there are a whole bunch of things that are possible.
Ooh, cool. I like that idea. With all that said, and, you know, getting back to the end game again, is the idea to sort of make the end game so robust, extensive, and enjoyable that players will fall back less on rolling new characters anyway? Or, you know, because it's got endgame.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's obviously a benefit to a healthy endgame. Well, as we talked about before, we have an immense array of things to do when you get to level cap. Mm-hmm. When we were working on this, Simon and I, Scott gave us a list. He had gone through, and with some of the pod leads, he had compiled this list of everything that you can do at given a certain level in our game. So it was this stack of things that at any given level, I could do a dungeon, I could do this, I could do raids, I could do crafting, I could do this. And it was an amazing array of things to do. And then he handed it to Simon and I said, okay, I need you to get with the pod leads and braid that together. So this helps feed that and this does this. And so the amount of content that you can do up through level 50 mm-hmm. is great. And then you can fall back to all of that while you're at level 50. Say, for instance, you level cap without ever crafting. This is a huge, robust crafting system that you could then get all the way to the end on there. So yeah, there's a lot you can do. Are we relying on it to keep you from rolling an alt? No. But I suspect people will be less inclined to, because they also don't suffer from character fatigue.
Yeah.
They're not going to be like, well, I've played the same abilities for, you know, 70 hours in a row, and I just don't know it. Fine. Put a different role on them and go out and kill a whole bunch of things. And it's a completely different gameplay experience. It's, if you want to be more up in their face, don't equip a pet. If you want to be more ranged damage, cool, put something on that has range. So we give you a lot of tools.
So like before, you mentioned that, you know, you don't want to make a starter soul something that is like group dependent type thing.
Right.
But you could have, you know, your roles equipped so that you have a group dependent sort of setup that is for dungeons, and then you can have like a completely different solo one, maybe a completely different PvP one.
That's the actual, that's kind of the selling point that Russ makes for the role system entirely. In my case, I think I might be a rarity in that I use the same souls in three different ways. Most people actually completely rebuild the tree so that if they're going to be a support role, they fully blow it out as a support role. They have all kinds of stuff. They've got auras and buffs and self-buffs and some heals and they go nuts with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, if somebody comes up and they show you a really good support build, you want them in your group for a dungeon.
Yeah. Okay, and what is your favorite pie?
What is my favorite pie?
Pie.
Well, my son and I bake a profound apple pie. I mean, life-changing. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying.
Okay, so apart from, you know, apple pie that is to die for, is there anything else you'd like to let the fans know about the game?
Yes, that they need to sign up for beta events. I said it before, but come in. These are awesome.
I'm looking forward to the feedback from them.
Thank you.
Now, there is going to be an NDA, though, right?
You know, I can't actually answer that. Cindy would probably be able to answer that better than I can.
I will pick her brains for that then.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's been great talking to you.
It really has. Thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much for giving up your valuable time to come and chat with us.
Never a problem.
And we will definitely grab you back at some stage. Thank you, Hal.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, now, Cindy, over to you. Hal said that you would be able to tell us about the NDA and, you know, the beta events that are going on. So how's that going to work?
Well, when people are selected, they will be sent a link where they can go sign the NDA,
mm-hmm.
and they will have to sign an NDA before they can download the client.
Okay, so there is an NDA in place.
Yes.
And they will have to abide by it or get in trouble.
Yes. You know, I'm sure we'll find people breaking the NDA. It happens all the time. And I'm sure people will end up getting kicked out for breaking the NDA. It happens all the time. So, you know, we hope to have a good group that's going to test really well and abide by the NDA. But, you know, we're realistic too. So
you must be really excited about the beta event starting up.
Oh, I so am. I can't wait for people to get in and get to see the game. Everybody around here is really excited about it. A little crazy, too, because everybody's working real hard to make sure it's all ready. But we're really anxious to have more people in and see what people think and get the feedback and then move on towards release. I mean, that's where this train is heading. So.
Well, it'll definitely let these new starter areas that you guys have been raving about, you know, test.
Yeah, I love the new starting areas. I've tried both of them a couple of times now because I keep making new characters.
Well, beta will be fun. I'm looking very forward to it.
Definitely. I think we're going to have a great time.
Well, thank you for coming on again just to say hello and give us a little bit of clarification on the NDA. And
wow, I'm kind of missing you asking me when beta is. I mean, we've ended every show like that since we started.
I know. Okay, then. Hey, Abby, so can you tell me when beta is?
December 3rd, right around the corner. Yay!
Yeah, I know. Somebody told me I had to ask anyway, and I kind of almost forgot. So I'm like, I know when it is now. It's not the same. I don't have to come up with trick questions to try and actually get the date out of you.
Well, we do have the next big date after that will be release.
So, Abby, when's release?
We're back to soon again.
Okay, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Oh, anytime. I love being here.
Well, we're taking a break next week, so I won't be hassling you for that. It's Thanksgiving, and I am not doing anything.
Yay!
I thought so, good. Too. So we will see you the week after that.
All right, sounds great.
Bye. Well, Hal was a lot of fun to interview, and we're really happy that Cindy cleared up the NDA in relation to beta for us. It definitely will be in place for the beta events, and they will be holding people to it. So, I mean, it'll still be nice to see what people mm-hmm. think, but and I'm sure we'll find out anyway, but NDA will be in place and people mm-hmm. shouldn't break it.
Be respectful of it.
Yes.
And now, like we mentioned earlier, we're going to be holding another random drawing contest. To participate, just comment on our podcast 21 blog post before midnight CST on Friday, 26th November with the following. A haiku, but there's a catch.
Yes. Now, Hal talked about the soul system, its flexibility, and the many ways to obtain souls. The haiku subject matter must pertain to this. Has to be about the souls, its flexibility, how to obtain them. So, you know, you can use sort of like what souls you might use or something like that. Or yeah, mm-hmm. just, but it has to have souls as the subject matter.
Now remember, a haiku is three lines. First is five syllables, second with seven, and third with five again. Your haiku must not be a duplicate. We welcome English, French, German language entries. If you'd like to post an entry in another language, please also post a translation into one of those languages alongside the original entry.
Yep. All haikus, all true haikus, so they have to be the in haiku format, will go into a random drawing, and we will random off three VIP passes to three different people. Only one haiku per person is allowed. We will be notifying the winners well before Friday, December 3rd. Just remember that there will be no podcast on the 29th of November because the team is taking some time off for Thanksgiving.
We'll also announce the winners on our December 6th podcast, but they will already have their keys so they can participate in the December 3rd beta event.
Yep. Now, it's been a great week for Rift this past week. We've had like four new soul releases, a plethora of interviews. Yes, plethora is making a comeback because I love the word. not to mention the beta event start date, and it's now just called Rift. It's no longer Rift Plains of Talara. Yeah. Just Rift. Talarapedia is getting really frequent updates now. It's a lot of fun to browse through, so make sure you have a look. And now for the weekly news roundup. on Monday, November 15th, Scott Hartzman answered the question, so why make a fantasy MMO over at XAMN? It's a really good read, but then again, we're kind of biased because we think most things that Scott does are a good read.
Yeah. And on Tuesday, November 16th, it rained Gamer Day info. Yeah. Ten Ton Hammer released an interview on crafting and community with Scott Hartzman. Once again, awesome.
Yeah.
Massively released more information about their experience at Gamer Day. Warcry came out with their Gamer Day release. MMORPG released their hands-on preview from Gamer Day.
Gamer Day theme.
I know. Did you notice something there?
Yeah.
The Archon, a Mage Soul, was announced official at MMORPG.
I know. I like the look of that one.
I know. XAMN also released their Gamer Day information. Take a look at some of the questions answered. And finally, 10 Ton Hammer also released some information on grouping and Rift. Check out their hands-on preview of group gameplay.
Woo! Okay! Wednesday, November 17th. Tryon revealed the latest Rift, the Plane of Air. Check out Rift News for the information. MMORPG is back yet again with the Paragon, a warrior soul.
That doesn't sound like it'd be a warrior.
I know, it doesn't really, does it?
Sounds kind of pretty.
Yeah, but Paragon. Hey, it's a warrior, so...
Thursday, November 18th, MMORPG released yet another Rift soul, the Rift Stalker.
Now that one sounds cool.
Yeah, no, man.
But stalking Rifts, it's like... Sorry, I'll be quiet now.
Abigail finally announced the first three beta dates. Check out their press release post. And GameSpot's Today on the Spot had a demo of Rift on the PC.
Yeah. Now, Friday, November 19th. Rift IRC is back with a dev chat about dungeons. It's actually a really good chat, so make sure you check out the transcript of that. And MMORPG released the final soul for this week, the Shaman. So, I mean, that's like four souls, and the Shaman looks awesome.
I love Shamans.
I'm like, I have no idea what to play again. They've got to keep doing, they've got to stop doing this, because every time they release something new, I'm like, oh, I'm going to play that. Oh, I'm going to play that. So
I think I've accepted. I just need to wait till release and I'll just go, I pick you. It's like throwing a Pikachu ball.
You, Pikachu.
It's like, there you go. It's like, I pick you. Oh, what did I catch? Cool. Okay.
So, well, I'm liking the Shaman right now. Thank you very much. Don't worry. It'll change next week. So beta is drawing close and the releases are being ramped up. So, I mean, I'm really looking forward to beta and seeing mm-hmm. what people think of the game.
And I'm back this week to end the podcast.
I know. I miss you when you're not here.
Apparently, I've been lectured because she doesn't like doing it by herself.
I don't. I don't feel like I can, because if I talk to myself, it'll just, it's just weird.
So here I am saying it's about that time again. Don't forget to visit us at riftpodcast.com. We'll have all the links mentioned up in our blog post. And don't forget to post your haiku and a comment on our Podcast 21 blog post. We're looking forward to giving out the last passes we have.
Yep, we are. So remember, you can now like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or contact us via riftpodcast@gmail.com, in comments on the site, or through the Contact Us feature. Come chat with us on Facebook or say hi on Twitter. We do love hearing from people. And I do just want to really thank Shintia, Jowdark, and Neptun for all of their behind-the-scenes help again, because it wouldn't be possible without you guys.
Hope you enjoyed the podcast.
This is Arithian.
And this is Deskus.
And we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Yep.